Craig Berube is going to get the interim tag dropped at some point, yeah?
I would think so, yes. I mean, you'd have to think that it's always interesting because with this kind of scenario, you can only just play into how well the coach is doing. But also, as a general manager, as you guys know, you always have to be aware of what's out there in the market, too. So it's kind of that funny balance. But if it just comes down to Craig and what he deserves, my goodness gracious, what he's done with this team, it's just been phenomenal. I mean, he should be up in the Jack Adams award kind of circulation, I would think, at this point, because he's just been turning this whole thing around.
What did he do?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I've seen, you know, I was here when Mike Yeo was here, and I saw the whole transition. There hasn't been a lot done structurally or tactically. I don't think there's a lot difference, like D-zone, or let's say the power play's completely changed because he has new X's and O's. I don't see much of that. I've seen pretty much the same team and the same kind of style Mike Yeo has created. But the difference with Craig Berube, I believe, is just that he has just more accountability within this group. I think we all know Craig. He's had an incredible resume in the league. I think he is just this very demanding coach. I don't mean like he's always yelling at his players. He just has this presence about him where players have a little bit of fear, I think. You know, it's like when you go home and you have a strict father and he comes home from work, all the kids kind of tighten up at the dinner table, right? Mm-hmm. You got a little bit of fear. You don't want to mess up. You're not going to tease your brother when dad's home. Maybe when mom's home, but not when dad's home. And I think that's kind of that's what it feels like. That's the aura in the locker room, that they really just want to do a good job for this guy. And he just has this accountability factor. And, you know, if you mess up, you're going to hear about it.
So, Joey, tell me about the thinking behind the move of Braden Schenn onto that first line, something we've read about as playing a significant role. How did that come about, and why has that line worked so well?
Well, I think that, you know, the insanity rule, I mean, just really was coming into play. We had the same sentiment right down the middle. Nothing was changing. You had Ryan O'Reilly, you had Braden Schenn, you had Tyler Bozak. On paper, it looked great. It just was not working for whatever reason. And Craig Berube made a great coaching decision. He decided, you know what, I'm going to put Braden up on the wing. Braden had a little bit of a minor injury right around Christmas time to one of his upper body, and he was struggling on faceoffs. It was hurting his injury on faceoffs, so he thought, okay, let's try him on wing. I think that's what kind of initiated it, but I think Craig Berube saw something he really liked. And Braden Schenn, at first, I don't think he was too excited about it. Braden Schenn's a player that he likes to wheel. He likes to come up through the middle. He likes to keep his feet moving, which is pretty much the center's position. Wingers, you got to be a lot more patient. So Braden's adjusted to it, and I think that Braden is very satisfied being there now, and I think he realized that it's not so much about the position, but look who you're playing with. I mean, he's playing with two of the hottest players in the National Hockey League right now, with Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko. I think he's adjusted his game. His wall plays have been very good. His speed has been evident. I think that as a winger, too, you have more legs, you have more lungs. You're not always winding it up. So I think Braden Schenn's kind of calm in the defensive zone. And when it's time to go, like in the offense, boom, he's gone. So now he's starting to get those legs moving. His forecheck has been great. He's always the first one in the forecheck. Ryan O'Reilly's right after him. He wins every battle in the corner. And then you have Vladimir Tarasenko, who's kind of hiding in the weeds a little bit in the front slot. He'll find a little area. He'll jump to it, and Ryan O'Reilly finds him, and boom, just like that. And it seems like Groundhog Day watching this team over and over, because every game it's Braden Schenn turns the puck over, Ryan O'Reilly right there. He finds Tarasenko, and boom, it's in the back of the net.
The other thing, it seems like Groundhog Day is when that isn't happening, Jordan Binnington is making saves. 12-1-1, 937 save percentage since being called up in January. What has been his role here in helping solidify things? I mean, I've got to think having a goalie like that, it makes everybody's job a little easier.
It does, and I think that Jordan Binnington, what he does so well is what any team you talk to about who they have confident goaltending, you feel good about giving up shots to the outside. So let's just look at the defensive zone, for example. If you're in the D zone and you know you have confident goaltending behind you, the team in front of you, the three forwards and the two defensemen, are going to play tight. They're going to protect the middle of the ice, and they're going to give up that outside shot because they know that your goaltender is going to make that first save. Now, when you have bad goaltending, then you start getting a little nervous. Then you got to start stretching out a little bit. Then you got to protect the outside shot. So you start moving outside that top box in the middle of the ice. And when you do that, that's when more things get exposed in the middle of the ice. And that's when kind of fragile teams, I'll call it, get really hurt. So for the Blues, they know that outside shot's going to be taken care of. They know the first save is going to be taken care of by Jordan Binnington. And I'm going to say Jake Allen lately, too. He's been phenomenal on the road as well. They're getting great goaltending all around. And Jordan Binnington, if you watch him play, he's a very poised goalie. I know we use that word a lot, but he really is back there. He's not going to make a lot of acrobatic, you know, Pecorine saves. He's not going to go behind the back. He's not going to get his paddle up last minute. He's not going to make any save that you're going to see on ESPN Top 10. It just won't happen because he's always just in the right position. He understands the depth. He understands where his feet need to be. He understands angles. He understands all of those kind of mechanics that when the guys come down to shoot on him, it just they put it right in the glove or they put it right in the blocker or how many shots now are going wide because really there's nothing there. He understands how to aggressively take a shot. And I think it's another thing that I don't think Jordan would admit, but this is a 2011 draft pick by the St. Louis Blues. He's been sitting in the minors for a long time. He's had to develop in the minors for a long time. I was in camp this year, and no one was talking about Jordan Binnington. It was the two goalies we had, Chad Johnson, Jake Allen, obviously, and the next one in line was Billy Huso, who was going to be the first call-up if anything should happen. Well, Jordan Binnington has been sitting down there and just moving and developing and getting better and better. He's kept his mouth shut. He hasn't complained. He just keeps working. And after all this time, he finally gets his opportunity. I think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think he's playing lights out right now because he's been sitting down in the minors like people have forgotten about him. And he's just been such a fun, enjoyable goalie to watch back there.
Yeah, and at one point, too, if I'm not mistaken, he refused a demotion. And well, I'll tell you what, when you can do that, first of all, it says a lot about your confidence in yourself. But you know, to be able to bring your career back from that point, he was also, I believe, loaned out to the Bruins affiliate at one point as well. And it also says a lot about your personality that you can make your way back in the game without developing a reputation. Because you know, and they're guys who've had difficulty doing that.
No, yeah, you're right, especially the goalie position, because I mean, we all know how it is. If the goalie position, if you get called up and you don't have that opportunity or you don't do well with it, or you, let's say, you get stuck on a team that's not playing very well in front of you and you start letting up a lot of goals, it's very hard to, you know, reestablish, you know, confidence in a general manager that you're still a go-to guy in this league. And I think Jordan has just really just dealt with it all. And if you ever talk to him, his personality off the ice is perfect for the situation that was presented to himself. He's not a overreactive kind of guy. He's not too emotional. He's very under control all the time. You talk to him. I remember after his first victory in Philadelphia, he got a shutout, his first NHL start. And we were on the radio. We're talking after the game. This is about 2 minutes after they wrapped it up. And I go, Jordan, unbelievable. What a game. I mean, how proud of yourself are you? This is, I mean, can you have scripted any better? Your first NHL start, you get a win on the road and you get a shutout. And his response was, yeah, it was pretty awesome. Like, that was it. That's all he said. Like it's he you can't pull anything out of this guy. He's so poised like all the time, and he's just so in that zone. And it's really hard to think that anything's really going to knock him off that zone.
So, Joey, what do you think this team does now at the deadline? You know, I mentioned Braden Schenn was a name we'd heard, of course, out here in Toronto. Alex Pietrangelo's name been mentioned since last year. What do you think the Blues do as we get close to this deadline?
You know, I'm not Doug Armstrong, and I don't want to even put myself in those shoes because he's got, you know, a lot to think about. But based off of what I've seen, you know, we knew coming out of the All-Star break that how this team responds, the record we move forward with in the next 2.5-3 weeks is going to dictate, like most teams know. Mm-hmm. The players dictate what the general manager does. And I think Doug was very public about that. He made it noticeable. Well, we haven't lost a game since then. I think that the Blues, if they've done anything, they've proven to themselves, their teammates, and their general manager that this is the group that is winning, and this is the group that can win. This is the group that Doug Armstrong put together last July, you know, 6-7 months ago, whatever it's been now. This is the team he's envisioned. Everyone from the start of the year, Tyler Bozak's your third center. I mean, my goodness, like, holy cow, we got a pretty stacked lineup. You know, this is the team that's performing finally the way they anticipated it to be. I don't know what they're going to do. All I know is that if this team stays healthy the way they are right now and they continue to play this style, they're not going to lose many games the rest of the year. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to make a hard, hard push in the playoffs.
I was going to say, you look at that division, you look at that conference, They really are. I mean, they're almost like the landmine, aren't they? You don't want to play if you step in that, you certainly might get a surprise in the first round or the second round.
I'm telling you, you're right. Every team, and I'm watching it now, and the Blues are playing like a very suffocating style. I'm watching the benches. We're in Tampa. We're playing the best team in the league, and we're winning 1-0 the third. And I'm seeing the team give up. I'm watching the Nashville Predators. We have a back-to-back against, like, again, one of the best teams in the West, and I'm watching their team just give up in the third period because as a player, and I played against teams like the Blues, I played against the Blues when they were, you know, the 5-6 years ago with Jackman and Backes and just complete shutdown and frustrating hockey. This is what that looks like now. It's like that, and I remember the tone on the bench. The players just have nothing else to give. It's just such a deflating, depressing thing because the Blues are just not giving anything. There's nothing to the middle of the ice. The goal scorers are not getting any grade-A chances. The defensemen who pride themselves on jumping up in the rush, Roman Josi, all these kind of players, they're getting up in the rush and just getting smothered. They're getting stapled against the boards, and the team's going the other way. It's just everything that makes one of the best teams in the league gives them those advantages by all those players and defensemen, like I just mentioned. They can't get to their game because of the style the Blues are playing. It's just simple. They're keeping everything to the outside. They have big defensemen. They're using their bodies. They're using their reach very well. And they have discipline from Vladimir Tarasenko all the way down the lineup to Mackenzie McEachran, who's a rookie. Every single player has bought in to keeping that high forward, to finishing your checks, to working back in the D zone, to back check, to stop. A simple foundational thing. Stop in the house. How many times we see players circle out of the house and that opens up lanes? Mm-hmm. They're stopping. They're doing the little things, and it's just been working.